May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I've already said, this is the fifth and final message in a series on Momentum for Life. It's based on a book written by Reverend Michael Slaughter, who is a retired United Methodist pastor out of Tipp City, Ohio, Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church. And he wrote this book after he had had a heart attack, actually. He wrote this book, Momentum for Life, using an acronym, DRIVE. And the D of DRIVE stands for devotion to God. We must start there with our understanding of our relationship and devotion to God and what God wants for us as individuals, as a church, as a world. The R stands for readiness for lifetime learning, and we really need to pay attention to where we can learn throughout our life. We're never too old to learn and to expand our horizons and to learn more about how to live life to its fullest. The I denotes investing in key relationships, sitting down with people, understanding their concerns, what they're going through, investing in those relationships which build up the body of Christ as we build up individual members of the body of Christ. The V indicates vision for the future. I didn't speak specifically about this last week, but to indicate that really, we can have vision statements, not only for the church, we're working on that actually as a staff, but also visions for ourselves. If you've never written a vision statement for yourself, where do you want to be? What do you want to look like in 2 years, 5 years? Not look like physically, but what do you want your life to look like in that amount of time? And the E, as I've already said, is for eating and exercise. You may have heard the saying that there is a difference between eating to live and living to eat. I've been on both the spectrums of that. After surviving a heart episode and resulting examination of his life, Michael Slaughter, who wrote this book, was most interested in this aspect of eating and exercising. After 38 years of ministry, Michael Slaughter moved on to different adventures. He retired. He focuses on the needs of people in Darfur, a region of Sudan. The genocide in Darfur was considered one of the most horrendous events of human cruelty that history has ever known. Slaughter also wants to enjoy his family. He wants to enjoy his 6 grandchildren. He writes, quote, "Have you ever heard someone make a statement like, 'I can't wait to get to heaven,' or 'I hope that Jesus is coming back soon'?" He continues, "Personally, I can wait. I'm in no hurry to make that celestial trip. It's not that I don't want to see, I won't be happy to see Jesus," he writes. "I'm just really enjoying this incredible gift of life." What makes us unique as human beings, friends, is the fact that we are created in God's image. God breathed the breath of life, excuse me, into us. That's why every human being matters to God. And when it comes to human life, I hold 2 foundational beliefs. First is that life is a gift from God for which we are called to be good stewards. Our bodies, bodies are the way in which we experience our world. We can see the beauty. We can smell the beauty sometimes. We can hear the beauty. We can reach out and touch another person, embrace them, comfort them, show them that you're present. And just as we are called to be good stewards of this planet, we are called then to take care of these bodies through which we experience not only each other, but we experience God. The opening hymn has a line in it about take my heart and make it your throne. God lives within us. God wants to be within us. And the second foundational belief that I hold is true is that our body places are the dwelling place of God, as I've already just said. Apostle Paul, who wrote our passage from Romans for today, wrote to the people of Corinth this: Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Now there was a TV advertisement years ago also a book written by Simon Sinek. You know, every great why needs a great how. The TV advertisement was about nicotine patches, help you quit smoking, and the tagline for that commercial was that phrase. But for Pastor Slatter, his heart episode became the driving force behind his regimen of self-care and eating well and exercising. He employed somebody in his congregation who was a trainer, a physical trainer, and worked with him to learn how to exercise, keep his balance, and as he got older and retired. For me, taking care of my body has been mostly about being drug-free. Let me explain. I've had a cholesterol problem since I was married. We discovered it when Ruth and I took our blood test when we got married. They don't do that and haven't done that for decades now, but my doctor took me aside and said, you're all fine. You and Ruth can get married. Yay. But your cholesterol is high, Jack. It's at the high end of the normal thing. And then if any of you have had a cholesterol problem, you know what they did? They lowered the rate, right? The health rate. So then I was in a pickle. So that's always been an issue. And I kept off cholesterol meds for a long time. But then there's my weight, too. That's related to that. Well, I won't go too much farther into that. But you know, as I told the guys on the, this is one thing I'll share with you from the men's summit. I think I've lost 1,000 pounds over the years. So it's just, they keep finding me. Amen? Anybody expect that? 2,000 pounds. Do I hear 3,000? No. But what's your why of why you want to take care of your body? Make your appointments. Get your physical yearly. Work out. To be physically fit. Some want this to look better. They want to fit into their skinny jeans or the suit they were married in. Others want to be physically fit because they want to feel better, more energetic. One of the weight programs I was involved with had a 20-pound fat suit. So when you lost, so when you lost 20 pounds, they put it back on you as a suit, and you can kind of feel that. And then you kind of say, "Ooh, no wonder my knees hurt. No wonder my back hurts. No wonder I can't see my feet." Anyway, certainly being healthier enables us to enjoy life more and longer. We have a better chance of seeing our grandchildren grow up. I remember last week I shared with you that one of Pastor Slaughter's favorite hymns was Psalm 128, where it says, "May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children." And then this great blessing, "Peace be to Israel." Peace, shalom, wholeness. May you be content with your life and live long enough to see the fruit of your life. Pastor Slaughter shares in his book 6 factors that influence longevity. He makes the invitation to a longer life by asking, would you, with me, prefer to stay a bit longer on this earth? Would you like to find greater energy, joy, and fulfillment in this life? So he lists these 6 factors to influence our longevity. And the first is, some of these have nothing to do directly with exercise and eating, but they're important. First is your attitude. In recent years, numerous scientific studies show that there's a positive link between faith and longevity. One study, for example, showed that people who pray during illness accelerates their recovery process. Stress, on the other hand, has a strong negative influence on our longevity. It makes your cells deteriorate faster, which you can see in your skin and in your hair. The second attribute that positively affects longevity is relationships. People with healthy relationships tend to live longer and more satisfying lives. Even pets can have a positive impact on the health of those who lived alone. After my dad lost his wife, not my mother, he lost my mother very young, but lost his last wife, he did have Rosie the cat. And even that cat fed his soul, little Rosie. Genetics is third. Now, this is where we really cop out on diet and exercise, friends. I have a friend, dear friend, I love him, but I kind of had to say, you're wrong, you're dead wrong. Sometimes I'll say that to parishioners, believe it or not. And so he said, he says, you know, genetics. So it doesn't matter what I eat. It doesn't matter what I eat or if I exercise. But you know, genetics has been estimated to have only about a 10% influence on our health. Most of it is lifestyle related. Our diet, our lifestyle, our exercise, the way we relate to each other. Some of the things I've already mentioned, attitudes and relationships, affect your overall health far more than your genetics. Fourth is mental activity. Some parts of the brain will keep growing if they get enough exercise. As we get older, it's important to keep learning new things, trying new activities, both mental and physical. This connects with one of the other parts of the acronym DRIVE, that readiness for lifetime learning, to keep your mind active, to keep using your hands, your dexterity. All that is really important to keep your balance. That's a big thing as I've gotten older. I play racquetball. I feel like I'm in shape, but man, can you stand on your foot for 15 seconds without, you know, falling over? That's a really important thing to be able to figure out. And then fifth and sixth are the actual exercise and diet. The number one cause of death in America is heart disease, and it is preventable by exercising, eating well, and not smoking. The three big things. Now look, I've got to believe that the majority of us already know this stuff, right? Right? We already know this. And in this day and age, you've heard of these six factors that contribute to longevity of life. It's not exactly cutting-edge news. But we all know what it takes to be healthy. And it's easier done than said. I know that. I have a friend who takes umbrage with the saying, knowledge is power. He hates that saying, knowledge is power, which is, it's not a bad saying. But he likes to amend it by saying, the use of knowledge is power. You can know stuff forever, but if you don't act on it, if you don't use it, if you don't use that as a guide for your life, then that knowledge will not have power. And what's really truly remarkable and radical, excuse me, about Paul's writings to take care of our bodies, to offer them up as a living sacrifice, which this is cutting-edge stuff back there, because he's in a Greek society, right? And the Greeks believed that our bodies were just prisons. They were prisons that housed our spirits, something to be despised and ashamed of. But Paul bridges the gap between his Greek citizenship and being a Jew in that he says, no, the body matters. The body matters because it is a way in which we live our lives and encounter the world and each other. And Paul really pours on this radical thought for those first century people. Not only are we to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, Paul says that sacrifice is holy and acceptable to God, which is and becomes your spiritual worship. Did you catch from the earlier quote from Paul's letter to the Corinthians that our bodies are not really our own, but they belong to God? Just like every other resource that we have in this world, we are to take care of it, to be stewards of our bodies as well. Pastor Slaughter ties together our longevity with stewardship of all that is. The Apostle Paul doesn't just speak about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, but if you go beyond that passage, he compares the body to the church. So when we take care of ourselves, we're taking care of the church, because you are the church. So let me just say one more time that this was a nearly heretical statement that Paul is sharing in his time. Paul not only lifts up the body as a holy and acceptable sacrifice, but the nature of the early church as a body is very important to his understanding of how we should work together to be the living body of Christ in the world. So what's the why of your how and how you would take care of your bodies? How do you plan to use your body as a living sacrifice to our God? This is truly an issue of stewardship. Stewardship's not just about money. It's about how we live our lives, how we use our resources, including our bodies. Second, it's all about being a steward of your life, which I hope is a blessing to you. The second verse from our scripture today says, do not be conformed to this world. Coach Patty talked about not to be conformed to the world with the children, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that continual learning, right? That we can pass that blessing to others through the ministry of the church. I promise you that the leadership of this church works hard to discern what is the word of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And we do our best to utilize the resources at our disposal for the ministry of this church in this place and time. But when it comes to this personal type of stewardship of your bodies, of your life, it's yours. It's your life. It's a gift from God. And I pray that you'll want to put it in drive for the sake of the church of Jesus Christ, for your sake, for the church's sake, for those that you love most and know best, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, which is your spiritual worship. And I pray that you will find the why to your how in caring for yourselves, that you will live a long life of meaningful service. And that's the word of God for the people of God today here at Central Church. In the name of our loving Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.